Someone else said that life is like a book, that we write it as we go. If that's the case, what does your book say? What does your book say? Is it a book of joy?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Today on In Christ, we continue in the Building Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. Now last time, we began the journey home, seeing how God's people trusted him for protection and provision along the way. So today we continue in Ezra chapter 8, verses 24 through 36, with the journey home, part 2. In this passage, Ezra entrusts the priests with responsibility of carrying the treasure for the temple. There is accountability, careful preparation, and a shared commitment to honor what belongs to God. Then the journey unfolds, and as they trusted, God brings them safely to Jerusalem. When they arrive, they worship, give thanks, and complete the mission God had set before them. Now, trusting God doesn't remove responsibility. It deepens it. Faith walks hand in hand with stewardship, obedience, and follow through. So as God leads you forward, are you not only trusting him, but also faithfully handling what he has placed in your care? Let's grab our Bibles, turn with me to Ezra chapter 8, starting in verse 24, with the Journey Home Part 2. Here's Pastor Ben.
And so Ezra says, I'm going to proclaim a fast. The word fast there I find interesting. It means to cover one's mouth, okay? To cover one's mouth, not to allow food to come in, but also to be quiet. I can't hear God's voice when I'm talking. I have to be quiet to hear. And so a fast, he's like, okay, let's hear, let's listen. And let's be honest, silence bugs us, doesn't it? We don't like silence. Sometimes in church, we'll have an afterglow, and an afterglow is we'll be waiting on the Spirit, and it just will wait. And about a minute goes by, and you can start seeing people going like, what's going to happen? And the worship leader's going, should I play a song? We're just not used to corporate silence. Let me say that. But he says, there's times when we need to listen to what God's saying. Well, why, Ezra? Why did you proclaim a fast? He says, I was ashamed. Look at verse 22. I was ashamed to request the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy. This is unknown. He's like, but why, Ezra? Why were you ashamed? He says, because I had spoken to the king saying, the hand of God is upon us for all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. He's going, I told the king, God's got this, right? I told the king, he's going to get us through. God is with all of us that are for him, but he kind of got in the flesh a little bit. You go, how so? Well, he sort of freaked out. He's like, oh, but I didn't realize this is dangerous. I kind of feel like Ezra at times. Maybe you do too. And you go, why? Because there are times when you know who God is. You know how big God is. And then there are times when you're like, oh, I don't know if I trust him right now. And you struggle with that. Well, Ezra calls for a fast. He says, hey, let me pray. Let me get back. Let me make sure. Look at verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. That's a good place for an amen. Because he answers prayer. He answers prayer. But I love the sincerity, and I love the pureness of Ezra's heart. Ezra didn't get prideful going, well, you know, I told the king, and now I'm just, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Let me see what I can do. Oh, okay. Okay, Keon, you're going to be my soldier. Okay, you're my soldier. Okay, Jesse, you're my soldier. Let's see. Well, I'll make up my own soldiers. We'll get through this. That's us, what? That's us trying to take stuff in our own hands. And Ezra goes, I don't think I misspoke, but just to be sure, I'm going to call for a fast. I'm going to pray. Why? Why? Because I want to know that everything, what God has for us and our little ones, what does God want? We trusted and we called out to the Lord. One of the things you need to write down in your notes is that prayer requires patience. Prayer requires patience. We live in a microwavable world where you put something in the microwave, it gets done pretty quick. And so that's how you feel prayer should be. So how long you pray for that? Oh, 5 minutes. God didn't answer. It's like, really? 5 minutes? Prayer requires us to be patient. Okay, Lord, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till, you know, I have a peace in my heart about it. I'm going to wait. Patience, patience. Okay. Sometimes we don't move until we hear from God. Sometimes we don't move. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Now, let me give you two thoughts on this verse, okay, in these verses. Number one, Ezra had previously expressed great confidence in the hand of God upon him and his expedition. We're going home. And he did not want to contradict these prior words with later actions in asking a king for an escort in the soldiers and the horsemen. So he expressed great confidence. So he didn't want to go back and go, hey, you know what? I misspoke. Lord, could you help me? That's a school of thought on these verses. But also, too, calling out to God, Ezra knew, number two, that there were robbers along the way in the land that he must pass through. So Ezra was also being wise. But I think there's some application here for us. You go, how so? God's hand is also upon us. Through this thing called life, okay? The date we were born, the dash, the journey, you need to know that, again, God's hand is upon you. Here's what you need to write in your notes if you're a note taker. Everything in your life is Father filtered. Everything in your life is Father filtered. It means it has to go through God first. And sometimes God is like, okay, I'll let that happen. I want to see my child grow. My child grow. Found out something interesting today. Do you know how a lobster grows? A lobster is basically it has to get rid of its shell in order to grow bigger in the ocean. In the midst of all the ocean predators, it has to hide under a rock. Now, the one thing happens is that the only way the lobster grows, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I think it's a good illustration. The only way the lobster grows is basically through stressful times, through hard times, through being vulnerable. It has to release its shell in order to get a new one to continue to grow. It would never grow, and it would die if it buried its head in a rock somewhere under the ocean and never come out. You go, wow. You go, what's the point? Sometimes in life, God looks down and says, it's time to grow. And he brings a little bit of stress, a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of, oh, okay. Because it's this thing called life. It's this thing called life. Now, I don't wake up in the morning and go, oh boy, I'm stressed. This is good. I didn't get a wink of sleep last night. None of us do. We don't want that stress. I don't want that stress. But sometimes some of the difficulties in life, whether it be marriage, a boss, a relationship, whatever it might be, the purpose from our God is to bring growth, to bring growth. You see, it's his spirit in us that guides us through, and it gives us wisdom, and it helps us. And here's why. We all know that this thing called life is not all rainbows and butterflies. You go, amen, Pastor. We know that there are robbers along the way. You go, so what's the plan? So we need to walk as close to God each and every need to walk. It's not a salvation issue. It's not like, okay, God, today. It's a relationship issue of just walking close to God. It's not, hey, if you don't walk close to God, you're not going to heaven. It's a relation. It's going, here should be our attitude. I know life is hard, so I've got to walk close to God. I know this thing called life is going to be over. It's going to be over. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but statistically, you ready? 10 out of 10 people die. I don't know if you knew that. 10 out of 10. We don't. I have thought all my life a way of getting around it. You can't. It always freaks me out whenever I do a funeral and you see the stones of others and it's 1800s or early 1900s. Like, wow. We don't get out of here alive, do we? And so I want to walk close to God. I want to walk so close to God. Now we pick up our study in verse 24. It says, and I separated 12 of the leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and the 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed out to them silver and gold, the articles, an offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. I weighed into their hand 650 talents of silver, silver articles weighing 100 talents and 100 talents of gold, 20 gold basins worth 1,000 drachmas, and 2 vessels of fine polished bronze, precious as gold. And I said to them, notice, you are holy to the Lord. The articles are holy also, and the silver and gold are a freewill offering to the Lord of your fathers. Here's what you should do. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the father's house of Israel in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. And so the priests and the Levites received the silver and the gold and the articles by weight to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. Isn't this amazing? You go, why? What did he do? The first thing he does is he gets the leaders, the 12 of the leaders of the priests, and he gets these guys and goes, okay, we're going to divide up all the offering that's coming from Babylon. We're going to all the holy things from the temple that's going, or from Nebuchadnezzar that's going back into the temple, and we're going to divide them, and you're going to be responsible for them, and you need to take care of them. Well, first and foremost, this is wisdom, is it not? In other words, you don't put all your money in one basket. If there's robbers, they're going to have to just, I mean, it's safe. If they attack one guy, I mean, it's just wisdom, okay? Here's a little financial wisdom for you. Don't put all your money in one egg. Don't put them all, you know, diversify, okay? And that'll cost you later on. I'll be handing out that's free financial advice. But here's the point. Here's the point, guys. He goes, hey, I found leaders, men that I could trust. And I said, here is the responsibility. And I think it is beautiful. Why? Because it's the same thing in the church of God today, where you look for God, men of God, and you give them responsibility to do the work of God. The one thing I learned in planting this church is I couldn't do it all by myself. I couldn't be the counselor. I couldn't be the door. I couldn't do children's ministry. I couldn't be security. I couldn't do all of this stuff. And so God had to raise up faithful. And here's the point. They had to take on responsibility. They have to take the responsibility in the work of the Lord. One of the things that my pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, used to tell us at every conference, he says, the men you surround yourself need to be men of prayer, men who pray with you. These are the guys who are in the foxhole with you. These are the guys that the bullets are flying over, and these are the men who have your back. They need to be men of prayer. And he would push that. And I think, again, same thing. Men who are men of prayer, men who walk humbly, men and women who are willing to serve. There's an office for that. It's called deacon. And so we see all of them coming up. And so Ezra divided the valuables among the leaders of the priest, making each one of them responsible for their portion. And they were responsible then to watch and keep them till they arrived in Jerusalem and delivered them to the leaders of the priests of the Levites there. What I find interesting today is everything, just kind of totaling this all up, the value of the gold and silver today would be equivalent to around $20 million. So you have this group with Pastor Ezra with $20 million. He's like, let's go. Ezra's journey was also a journey filled with answered prayers. Look at verse 31. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. So what's happening, church, is the journey's continuing. And the hand of God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. Isn't that a great answered prayer? Now, first and foremost, Ezra writes it down. You need to write down answered prayer. God, we took off, and you know what he did? We knew that God's hand was upon us. We knew he was in this. And he delivered us from the hand of our man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives you? It's like, okay, there's an ambush over there. Okay, let's make sure. And God just takes care of them. And I love this. Why? because God had protected them from all harm as they journeyed back home. Can I say this to you? Can I encourage you this way? You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Sometimes we make it crawling, but you're going to make it to the other side. Why? Because God said you're going to make it. His hand is upon you, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And now what you want in that dash, the journey you have is up to you. Is it going to be a dash full of joy? Is it going to be a dash full of peace and compassion and love and mercy and grace? Or is it going to be a dash full of difficulty because that's who we are? No, church. I want a dash full of love and compassion and mercy and humility. That's my dash. You know what? I want my dash to say that he walked with God. It doesn't have to say he pastored this church or he did this or he did that or he was on the radio in this many countries and this. He walked with God. He walked with God. That's all. When a loved one goes to be with the Lord, we should smile and have that great satisfaction that they've made it. And God said they're going to make it. What happens? You make it. Look at verse 32. So when we came to Jerusalem and stayed there 3 days, you made it. You made it. When Ezra took on that 900-mile journey, God says, go, I got you. I got you, buddy. And there's some prayer. There's some fasting. There's some wisdom. There's some guidance. But he makes it. You go, well, how long was it? Well, if you're taking note, it was a 4-month journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. 4 months. 4 months of trusting God out in the wilderness, out in the open. 4 months together with the entire group. Now they're back in the promised land, in the land promised to their ancestors. One of the greatest reunion in the Bible is found right here. Why? Because they made it home. Can you imagine when they first came in? Ah. If we get to go to Israel in February, I've got to tell you, one of the most solemn and sobering things is that we'll be coming from the Dead Sea and we'll be making our final descent into Jerusalem. And the bus driver gets really quiet as we come in. And there's this tunnel that we go through and everybody's kind of talking and there's like jazz. We're coming. This is Jerusalem. This is where we're going to stay in Jerusalem. And then it gets real quiet. And then you come over the mountain, you can just see Jerusalem. And it's just like, oh. And everybody just gets real quiet because just the magnitude of Jerusalem. And then they start singing Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's just like, it's so amazing. And I mean, they're coming back. But one of the things that I love, before they went about any business, before they went home and said, all right, let's go, let's get to work. Before they delivered what was committed to them to use of the temple or the commissions of the king officers, guess what they did? They took 3 days to reflect and to just really rest. Just really rest. They should have rested. It was such a long journey. But I love that. Sometimes if it was me, I would probably have been in a hurry to get things done. All right, I'm here. Pastor Ezra's here. Let's go. We don't have time to rest. We got stuff to do. And the Lord's like, chill. Are we like that or what? We need to get to it. And sometimes it's like, no, you need to rest. You know what I love about this is that they made it through the 900-mile journey, but now they're safe at home. And I can't wait for that journey in our lives, okay? I love this world. I love you. I love everything. I love God, but I can't wait to be finally safe home, to close my eyes here and to open them there. I absolutely love the fact that I get to see all of my loved ones that have gone before me. But I've got to be honest with you. I am looking forward to seeing my Jesus. I just want to see my Jesus. Verse 33. Now, on the fourth day of the silver and gold, okay, so they rested, and the articles were weighed in the house of God by the hand of Meremoth, the sons of Uriah the priest, with him Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them the Levites, Jochabad, and the son of Jeshua, Evnodiah, the son of Benuni, with the number of the weight of everything, all the weight was written down at that time. The children of those who had been carried away captive had come away from captivity, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all of Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats as a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord, and they delivered the king's orders to the king's satraps, to the governors of the region beyond the river. And so they gave support to the people and the house of God. Can you imagine all of that sacrifices? When did they start sacrificing? On the fourth day. They rested for three. When did the worship begin? On the fourth day. Isn't that cool? Is there a parallel there somewhere? Right? The worship stopped when Jesus was on the cross, but on the third day when he resurrected, then the worship began again. And the fourth day he's out and he's showing himself to people and it's amazing. But here, guys, the children who had been carried away captive had come from captivity. What's the first thing they do? They offered the burnt offerings to God. Let me just say this to you because we're going to close, okay? Offer God the first fruit that he deserves. Give God the first fruit of your heart. Before your feet hit the ground in the morning, say a little prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Help me to just keep going. Just offer the fruit. Lord, I was captive. Now I'm free. I'm back home. I'm home. What's that dash, that journey from our birth date to our death date? Well, you know this. One person said it like this. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get until you open it up. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? Someone else said that life is like a book, that we write it as we go. If that's the case, what does your book say? What does your book say? Is it a book of joy? Is it a book of, wow. One of the neatest things that happened to us this weekend was my mother-in-law gave my wife her grandmother's Bible. That's one of the things. Now, her grandma's been with Jesus for several years now, but this is the Bible. This was it. And Nathalie was looking at it the other day, and she said some of the pages were crinkly due to some sort of wetness. And I don't think she spilled water on it, if you know what I'm saying. I think it was tear-stained, worshiping God. That's life. That's the kind of book you want to write. What does your book say? Spent time with Jesus this morning, just wept. Wept with tears of joy. How beautiful he is. How beautiful he is. How beautiful he is. Listen, church, in life, sometimes the road of life is hard. It's tough. There are trials. Amen. Tribulations. Amen. Heartaches, burdens, disappointments. But let me leave you with this, okay? Our Father is at the journey's end. He's waiting for you, and you're going to be safe at home. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to be glorious because that's who our God is. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. We thank you that we're just gathered together. Lord, I just thank you for the book of Ezra. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that we would just spend the next couple of minutes, Lord, in solemn worship to you for our dash. Thank you for our dash, Lord. Disappointments and all, I thank you for our dash. And Lord, when that end date comes, that I close my eyes here, that I open my eyes there, it will be worth it all. It'll be because of who you are in my life. In Jesus' name. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.